In half an hour here on BBC Radio 4, today's author sharing his views on anger is Andy McNab. He takes us on a journey from a turbulent childhood into the army and ultimately into battle. That's at 3:30. First, here's Vanessa Collingridge with Making History.
Hello. Today, a racy history of a sporting giant.
He had none of the modern cycling comforts that we have, like chamois leathers or a lycra. He preferred to use silk underwear.
We pay tribute to a forgotten sporting hero and a family's relationship to crime and punishment.
In its day, it was quite an infamous murder trial known as the Penge murder or the Penge case.
So how does this dark past help us shine a light on a unique 19th century institution? But we begin today with a little-known invasion from across the sea over 150 years before the Norman Conquest and some remarkable new evidence about the ancestry of people living today where all the action took place. Now, that invasion was by the Vikings, not from Scandinavia, but Ireland, would you believe? And the place they set upon was the Wirral, where Making History listeners Brendan and Kathleen Meehan live. They heard our story the other week about street and place names, when we made the point that it's not just the etymology of a name that's important, but what it tells us about the past. Well, the Meehans emailed making.history@bbc.co.uk to tell us about a fascinating past. They live in a place called Thingwall, and they wrote to us saying that they think that the thing of their Thingwall refers to a Viking parliament. But where and when was that thing? Well, Brendan and Kathleen, easy for you to write, harder to say. Thank you very much. But what I'd like to know is, what were the Vikings doing on the Wirral in the first place? Professor Stephen Harding is a biologist at the University of Nottingham, and he's just completed a DNA survey, which has thrown up some remarkable information about the ancestry of old families on the Wirral and northwest England. But when we hooked up with him earlier, the first thing I wanted to talk about was these Vikings, which, according to my primary school history, were clearly in the wrong place.
Indeed, at school we're told about the Vikings coming in from the east, the Danish Vikings, and how they made a military conquest. What we don't hear about is the more silent incursion of the Norwegian Vikings. They came in from the north, they settled in the Shetlands, the Orkneys, and they came down through the Hebrides and down the Irish Sea, settling in Isle of Man and then in Dublin. And then in 902 AD, the chronicles, not the Anglo-Saxon chronicles, the Irish chronicles, tell us of how they were expelled from there after a huge battle. The chronicles tell us how a group of them came over the Irish Sea and settled in Wirral after being given permission by Queen Ethelfled, Queen of the English.
So what was the difference then between the Norwegian Vikings and the Danish Vikings, or was there any difference?
Culturally and linguistically, they were very similar. And to delineate Norwegians from Danes is quite difficult. However, there are certain test words we can use. For example, not far from Thingwall, we have a place called Arrow Park, and that comes from Irish Norse, Argi, which means a type of farmland. So that's an indication of Norwegian Vikings locally.
Now, going back to Brendan and Kathleen's question about the thing, now, that sounds like a very bad B-movie, not an ancient parliament. So what was the thing?
Indeed, some listeners may remember a TV series called The Addams Family from the 1960s, where the thing was this hand which appeared from a box to answer the phone. Now, the thing on Wirral is different from that, you'd be relieved to hear. The thing comes from Old Norse, or the same pronunciation, thing, which means an assembly or parliament. Vol is an Old Norse name meaning field. So Thingwall is Thingvol, which means the assembly field, the parliament field. So Brendan and Kathleen are absolutely right. It does refer to a form of parliament.
And do we know exactly where it was?
We've got a good idea, because thing sites in Scandinavia are usually connected with a hill or mound, a thingbrekke, we call it, where the speaker at the thing can make himself heard. And there is one site in Thingwall which fits beautifully into this pattern. It's a place called Cross Hill, just off the A551. So we think the thing site is there.
Now, we know other things or tins. We've got Tinwald on the Isle of Man. Is that the same age?
The Manxmen have dated the start of the thing at Tinwald about 979 AD. Now, if the Wirral Vikings came in 902 AD, then it's very likely that the Wirral's thing would have been set up shortly after that, which would place Wirral's thing older than Tinwald and the Isle of Man.
Now, I'm sure many of our listeners will be aware of the BBC's Blood of the Vikings project, but you've been continuing that with a more specific theme on the Wirral in northwest England, haven't you? What have you come up with?
That's right. I mean, the Blood of Vikings, again, listeners might remember this. This was a BBC Two series which was focused on finding evidence of Viking ancestry in the British Isles by using modern genetic methods based on testing the DNA on the male Y chromosome, which is passed from generation to generation along the paternal line from father to son to his son to his son with little or no change. So this is a marker of ancestry. Now, it's not a very powerful marker when used for individuals, but when used with groups of people, populations, it is very powerful. So by comparing populations with Y chromosome DNA distributions, we can get an indication of population ancestry. Now, Blood of Vikings tend to focus on rural areas which were away from places which have undergone a large population change over the last few hundred years. Now, unfortunately, the Wirral is part of a big conurbation of Merseyside, and that causes problems in looking for ancestry. But what we've done, and this is working with colleagues at University of Leicester and University College London, together with local groups like the West Lancashire Heritage Association and Wirral Council, we've been able to use the fact that it's not just the Y chromosome which is passed along the male line with little change, but also male surnames. So by using as our volunteer base men who have surnames that were present in the Wirral prior to 1600, we could get round this problem of the population movements.
So what have you come up with then?
Well, it appears that there is up to 50% Scandinavian ancestry in Wirral and neighbouring West Lancashire.
Which... Gosh, that's incredibly high. Is that something you were expecting?
Well, we didn't expect as high as that, but bear in mind these figures are subject to error, so it could be between 30 and 50. It's that sort of error. But it's comparable with modern Orkney. And if you think about it, with all the place name evidence in the area, the historical evidence, the fact we have a thing, which means that the settlements must have been substantial, it seems to make sense.
That's Professor Stephen Harding at the University of Nottingham. And there's a link to that particular project and the wider story of Vikings on the Wirral on our webpage. Go to bbc.co.uk/radio4/makinghistory.